Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
You've seen God is there. You've seen Jesus is there. You've seen the Holy Spirit is there. Of all the names you have heard in the Bible, who would you want to see, Martin? Who would you want to see? So you are the one. Hallelujah. Imagine, I want you to imagine seeing Paul. And you say, so you are the one who wrote Philippians. Are you the one who wrote the letter to Ephesus? We were preaching. You know what you wrote? We were preaching from it. And we're going to say, you are the one who wrote Titus. Are you the one who wrote 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy? 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And we are going to see Jude. And we are going to say, Jude, so you are the one who wrote Jude. And then John, he's going to show up. And we say, Revelation, amafuta kuerenga. Kwari maganza branch. Hallelujah. We see all these men of faith. I want you to imagine seeing Daniel. I want you to imagine seeing David. I want you to imagine seeing Nehemiah. Seeing Esther. Seeing Naomi. Sing Abraham, sing Sarah, sing Joseph, sing Jacob, and sing Moses, and sing Jabez. Sing Jabez. Sing Ruth. Hallelujah. But it's not only them. We are also going to see Jashobim. We are also going to see Heroes. We are also going to see Herod. We are also going to see Shamoth. You are wondering, are these names in the Bible? They are. Hallelujah. We are also going to see Ithma. And we are going to see, this other one is Sibechai. These are the names you don't give your children. Or your children, you call them David. Jonathan. This one, Paul. This one, John. None of you in this church have called your children Heroes, or Heles, or Sbechai. None. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We only hear Zadok, Zipporah. Those are the names we hear. Sbechai, zero. Jashobim, zero. Heres, zero. Hezro, zero. But these names are in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. These names are in the Bible. And the Bible, there must be a reason why they are in the Bible. Our title today is Brave for God. Brave for God. Not intimidated, not afraid. And you know, sometimes we fail to do things because we say, what if God doesn't do? So is it our problem? Is it our problem that he hasn't done? Sometimes we want to defend God as if he needs our defense. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, are you there? Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 10, these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobim, the son of Hakimonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. After him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pastabim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines, but they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, who was chief of another three, he had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a very man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian man, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand, there was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among the three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Also, the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shamoth, the Harorite, Helez, the Pilonite, Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tikoite, Abieza, the Anathothite, Maharai, the Netophathite, Sibechai, the Hushathite, Eli, the Ahihohite, Heled, the son of Bana, the Netophathite, Ithai, the son of Reba of Gibeah, of the sons of Benjamin, Benaiah, the Pirathonite, Hurai, of the brooks of Gash, Abiel, the Abathite, Azmatheth, the Baharumite, Eliaba, the Sharbonite, the son of Hashim, the Gizonite, Jonathan, the son of Shage, the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Saka, the Hararite, Elipha, the son of Yu, Heva, the Mecharathite, Ahijah, the Peronite, Hezro, the Kamarite, Narai, the son of Ezibai, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Mibaha, the son of Hagiri, Zerek, the Ammonite, Naharai, the Barothite, the armbearer of Joab, the son of Zariah, Ira, the Ephorite, Gareb, the Ephorite, Uriah, the Hittite, Zabad, the son of Ahirai, Adina, the son of Shiza, the Reubenite, a chief of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanan, the son of Makkah, Joshaphat, the son of Mithnite, Uzziah, the Ashitherathite, Shama, and Jeziel, the son of Hotham, the Arorite, Jediel, the son of Shimri, and Joha, his brother, the Tizite, Eliel, the Mahathite, Jeribai, and Joshavia, the son of Elnam, Ithna, the Moabite, Ariel, Obed, and Jasiel, the Mezobite. Hallelujah. All these men, we are going to meet them. We will see them. These are men who applied their strength to embark on a courageous action towards what God had promised. There are many things that God has promised us. Without courage, brothers and sisters, we cannot possess. Hallelujah. The promises of God, the Bible tells us, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He doesn't have to think about them anymore. They're already done. These heroes, when you read about them, they didn't sit back as many would do today. They did not sit down and say, oh, well, God promised, and I'm sure he will fulfill his word. You do not hear anyone of them gathering together and say, brothers, I want to declare to you Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. They knew all these things, but the Bible tells us they stepped out, and they stepped out and took action to the promise until they saw the promise become a reality. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Your amen is weak. I say somebody say amen. Amen. They took courage. I say God promised. We are not giving up the land full of barley to the Philistines. He promised that he will rise up as a mighty man of war. We will fight. We will defend until God gives us victory. If they were living in our time and they heard there was a job application, they would apply. They were not just going to sit and say, brothers and sisters, pray for me. Praying for a job, good salary, good benefits. No. They will look for jobs. They will apply for jobs. And when they are applying, they will say, later, listen to me. You will be read. When they have read you, they will shortlist you, and I'll get a phone call. Hallelujah. And if there were interviews, they would go. And they will not be intimidated by a panel. Whether there are 30 people seated on a panel, on a long table, try to defend them, try to threaten them, they would not be intimidated. They would say, who is man? If not one created by God. If they meet a sick person, they will not say, what about if she doesn't get healed? They will just pray. And say, Lord, do what you said you will do in your word. If they were dreaming of business, they will not just sit down and dream of business. They would begin to do something. They will not be saying, hey, capital is a problem. No. They will find something to do. If there is a battle, they will go into battle. You and I will never know our potential under God until we step out. Until we take the risks on the front line of battle. Because that's where God meets us. God always meets us in the moment of battle. And when he meets us in the moment of battle, he energizes us. Especially when there is an enemy to be pushed back. I was leading intercessions the other day. And I said, brothers, I just want you to think. I said, for a long time, we have bound the devil. Hallelujah. I said, many times, we have told him, we bind you. We bind you. We bind you. But you're not hearing the Philistines, the Israelites saying, we bind the Philistines. You're not hearing them saying that. They are not saying we are binding the Amalekites. They are not saying we are binding the Hittites. They are not saying we are binding the Amorites. What the Bible tells us, they rose up into battle. You're not hearing Jehoshaphat and saying, Lord, see the people of Mount Seir, the people of Amnon, see what they have done. Lord, I bind them. I hear they are at the wilderness of Zin. I bind them. You never hear Jehoshaphat doing that. Jehoshaphat rose up and went into battle. You have to go into battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to go into battle. When you go in battle, God meets you there. These men and women understood that God's work in this world is usually a joint project. He doesn't do it alone. He works with us as we yield ourselves to Him and say, Lord, do what that which only you can do. When you read of these men, you will not hear that they started cohabiting or living together. And then they came to church one day and said, Pastor, bless our relationship. They didn't. Hallelujah. Because that's what you see these days. Sometimes people want God to bless something that God, even in His own mind, cannot bless. Say, I bless us. They lived pure lives. They came to church. They were blessed. They went to start marriage. These men and women risked their lives. They left their families and headed for dangerous territory. Places that nobody could think of going. Not long ago, there's a young man, I think in the U.S., went into the Amazon to minister to the lost tribes. He got killed there. And newspapers wrote, the mission agency that sent him was careless. They were lambasted, they were beaten left, right, and center. But somebody said, I'm going. For some of us, it's not even saying go to Iraq. It's not even saying we are sending you as a missionary to Iran. It's not even that. But some of us, even to cut ourselves from the influence of our unbelieving fathers, our unbelieving mothers, our unbelieving uncles, our unbelieving uncle aunties, our unbelieving relations, we can't do. We know the man doesn't fear God. We know the woman doesn't fear God. We know the counsel they'll give us is opposite of what the word of God says. But we can't take courage and say, I will stand for what God says. Very few of us. One time when King Asa became king, his grandmother was Maacah. And she was the queen mother. And after Asa restored worship and discovered that grandma was keeping an idol in her house to worship Asherah, he deposed the queen mother. Says, from now onwards, you are no longer queen mother. He deposed her, get the Asherah pole, bend it, took it and threw it away. And grandma was no longer queen mother. How many of us would do that? How many of us would do that? You read that story in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. These men did exploits for God, but of course with God's help. Daniel chapter 11, 32 tells us, those who know their God shall be strong. And they do exploits. Those who know their God. That's why you hear me all the time saying to you, know God for yourself. Because it's not all battles that we are going to be with you. There will be some battles that you have to fight on your own. And I always say, I was telling my wife last week, I said, love, you remember when I always tell you that when you are facing a battle, it's you facing that battle. It's not me. I just join you. It's just that I'm a faithful man. So I join you in prayer. But if I had to have chosen, I would have done it and say, hey, it's a battle now. It's a battle. Let us fight. I want you to see what Jeshobeam did. The Bible tells us Jeshobeam lifted up his spear against the 300 men and he killed them at one time. I want you to imagine 300 people coming to fight against you. They are not just coming with nothing. Oh. They have taken spears. They have taken swords. And they are coming to fight against you, Pastor Sunga. And you are alone. And there are 300 people. Pastor McDuff is not there. Brother Emas is not there. Brother Martin is not there. Brother Martin can't start. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior. What are you going to do? Many people, Pastor Sunga, are going to say, hey, 300. Many people. Many people would do a thing like that. Not Jeshobim. Jeshobim says, who is man? He stood his ground and started fighting until all of them were killed. Hallelujah. You go to Eliezer. The Bible tells us there was one day the Philistines gathered for battle. Why did they gather for battle? They came to harvest what they didn't plant. They came to harvest what they didn't plant. Here is a ground full of barley. And the Bible tells us, everyone else fled. Everyone else fled. Says, who wants to die? Not Eliezer, oh. Not Eliezer. Not Eliezer. The Bible tells us, the three mighty men stationed themselves in the middle of the field. And they began to defend it. And they killed the Philistines. So, and I want you to look at the next part of scripture. It says, so the Lord brought about a great victory. But when you read that scripture, you are not hearing that Eliezer and the other two mighty men, the name of God is not coming in. Eliezer is fighting. The other men are fighting. But the Bible tells us, at the end of the day, it was not Eliezer, it was not Jeshobim, it was the Lord who brought about the great victory. Where did he bring the great victory? In the battlefield. In the battlefield. In the battle what? Field. Sometimes you take joblessness as your battle. It's not your battle. Hallelujah. Sometimes you take all these challenges we face as if they are your battle. They are not. Even Jehoshaphat was told, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. In verse 15 to 19, David says, oh, I'm thirsty. I wish I would have just sat that water which is at that well by the gate in Bethlehem. But we are told, even though it was Bethlehem, the enemies had come and occupied Bethlehem, and the Philistines were living there. Not the three mighty men. These three decided, we are going there. They went, broke through the ranks, came to the camp of the Philistines, got to the well, drew water from the well, left from there, went back, gave it to David and said, King, you wanted water. Here is water. And David says, this water I'm not going to drink. This water I'm going to pour to the Lord, because this water represents your blood. And I want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible says they risked their lives for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There are things you need to take a risk. There are things you need to take a you need to say, I'm not taking no for an answer. I was telling the brothers and the sisters who came for intercessions. I think most of you by now know I'm no longer working. And I decided I want to concentrate on church and whilst doing some consultancies. Now, when you do a thing like that, you don't know where money is going to come from. So I was in a fix this past week. And I knew I needed some money. Not small money, big money. And I'm like, where am I going to get the money? So my mind tells me, just go so and so. Ask them if their banking account gives out money. And you can borrow from them. When you borrow from them, tell them you give them in March. Because at least you have something coming up in March which you can do. So I call the person, and the person says, hey, all our money is shared already. By 10th, it's all gone. If you want, you need to wait until March. I say, March, which March are you talking about? I need money now. I need to buy groceries for a kid who is going back to school. I need to pay that. I need to pay that. I need to pay Anchito. I need to pay for this. I need to buy fertilizer. I need to do all these things. And I need money. But somehow I felt a restraint from the Lord. The Lord says, don't do anything anymore. Stop. So I stopped. Yesterday, I'm at home. I'm busy preparing for today. I'm praying. And I'm like, Lord, I want to see a miracle. Lord, I want to see a miracle. I get a phone call from a guy. Says, sir, remember you're supposed to do a work for us in March? I'm like, yeah. Says, okay, we want you to send us an invoice. We want to pay. I'm like, okay. My mind tells me, pastors also can be deceived though. So my mind tells me, charge 50% and call it deposit. So I say, invoice, 50% deposit. Please, can you pay? The guy gets an invoice and calls me back. Go like, hey, bana, makenza banji good. Tane na kuti invoice. Amount, you want me to waste time to pay this amount and pay that amount again later? Are you mandika lipira it? So I said, like, okay, so what are you saying? He says, send us an invoice for the full invoice. This guy doesn't even think that Jesus can come today and take me home. So I send them the invoice. Full invoice. And they say, we are paying you on Monday. And I was like, nearer my God to thee. Nearer to thee. But the work, I have to do it somewhere. The middle of March. Hallelujah. They don't know whether I'll be sick or not sick or gone to glory. For them, they don't want anybody else to waste their time. God has said, I said, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And these things God can do. Hallelujah. You read in verse 20 to 21. They Abishai, they begin to fight. There's actually a boy in this church called Abishai. I pray Abishai will become like Abishai. Amen. Hallelujah. He begins to fight. And because of the fighting, he gets honor. Hallelujah. You go into verse 22 to 25. Benaiah, he kills an Egyptian. He gets to Egyptian. The guy, they say, is tall. So he gets to him. His spear is like a weaver's beam. He gets to him, take the spear from him, and kill him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. These things I am telling you, they didn't happen because of power. They didn't happen because of might. The Bible tells us, by my spirit. You need to be covered with the presence of God. That's why you cannot live anyhow. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot what? Live anyhow. That's why you cannot be compromising and say, God, fight with me. You'll be shaken. You'll be moved. I told you this story because I was shaken. I'm telling you this story because I was moved. And I was like, Lord, today is 18 February. Those who work are about to receive salary. You are my salary, God. You are my salary. So you need to sort me out. I have applied for jobs. They're not giving me consultancies. Everybody's saying March, April. Even somebody said September. I'm like, you are September. I say now. Hallelujah. I say, you are my salary. You are my salary. This past week, several testimonies. We've been praying. There's a brother who said, I need a new job. And he applied for 2 jobs. All of them very good jobs. At the end of the day, they have taken him in all the 2 jobs. An international organization, head of HR operations. An international bank, head of HR operations, technology, data, what. Looking after 5 countries. He calls me and says, Pastor, God has done it. You said I'm going to have a good problem. Now I have a good problem. So which one do I go for? I say, go for the one with 5 countries, bro. Go for that one. Go for that one. Hallelujah. We've been praying for a sister in our midst who's been saying, I want an international job. And she has harassed me left, right, and center. I want an international job. I want an international job. And we say, hey, God is going to do it in your life. Last week, God did it. She's moving to Nairobi, Kenya. These days, we'll be stopping in Nairobi, have a cup of chai, and we'll say chai masala. Then we'll proceed. Another sister, another international job. If you remember, we declared the other day, there will be a breakout like an epidemic of international jobs in this place. But all of them applied. Some of them were rejected at first, but they didn't give up. They didn't give up. Just because you have been rejected once doesn't mean God is not going to do it. He will do it. His name is God. And you know what I say? He created heavens and the earth. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. What can he not do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I will see mighty miracles done by God. We will see people revived. We will see great and mighty things we do not know happen if we refuse to accept the status quo. For too long as children of God, we have accepted things as they are. Sometimes we just believe somebody, because they are sick, they are going to die. It's not everybody who is sick who is going to die. Hallelujah. We will pray until God's will is done. If he wants him to go, because in Revelation says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. So if God has decided they have to go, let them go. But until he tells us and say, hey, this one, stop praying because I have decided I'm taking home. So stop praying, begin to thank me that I'm taking him to glory. Then we'll change the prayer. But with these ears of ours that do not hear God all the time, and he has told us only one thing to do is to pray, we will pray. We will pray. There was a time in this church, a young boy, very sick, in hospital. And we were showing up, one after another prayer. One after another prayer. They take her to HDU, they take him to HDU, they take him to another place. And we said, we are going to pray. And we say, we are going to pray. And we say, we're going to pray. You would go sometime and you see the pipes and everything. You say, God, this one I'm praying by faith. I'm praying by faith because you said so in your word. I'm praying. And God did it. The young boy is alive. And we can't say we did it. God did it. Yes. Hallelujah. All these people that have walked, they had stroke, they have walked. Somebody is to go for Caesar. And then the doctor said, this is what we are doing. And we pray and God intervenes. That has become an assurance enough for us that God answers prayer. So if some things delay, we are not going to be shaken off. We are not going to be moved. Why so? Because all these people were common people who did uncommon things for God. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 22, the Bible says they were in distress, they were in debt, they were discontented, and there were 400 of them. And they became eventually David's mighty men. They were not royalty. They were not from the state house. They were not graduates of Harvard. They were not graduates of UNIMA or Luana. They were not graduates of College of Medicine. No, 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 no. They didn't even go to Kamsa Academy or St. Andrews or Bishop Mackenzie. Great at this school, sir. They were regular people from some small places. Places like Tekoa. Places like Gibea. Places like Anathoth. The fact that you are here in Malawi, you can go anywhere in the world and do great things. Hallelujah. God can use you. They were regular people. They didn't come from Jerusalem. They didn't come from Bethlehem. But one thing they had done, they set their hearts to do exploits for the living one. Your future and my future are determined by this one thing: seeking after the Lord and being brave for God. I know we pray for blessings, but the blessings we pray for, the ones that we want to pass on to others, the ones we say, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The ones we say, a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. They are dependent on one truth. One truth, and one truth alone. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is in seeking God. It is in seeking God. Some things may delay for 20 years. You just have to continue seeking God. They may delay for 5 years. You just have to continue seeking God. There was a time I was sick and I started to die. And when you have a wife who is a doctor, who knows when a person begins to die, looks like, and she begins to see her own husband beginning to die. And there are people in this church. Somehow God showed them that your pastor is dying. And they began to pray, Lord, not now. Lord, not now. Lord, not now. Lord, not now. Wife is crying to God, God, not now. The others are crying to God, God, not now. Others are crying elsewhere, God, not now. God, not now. Somehow I didn't die. And I always know, this life I'm living right now, this is second half. Oh. First half ended, this is second half. And second half always also comes to an end. Oh. Maybe there'll be injury time, I don't know. But I know this is second half. Hallelujah. So at this point in time, when you have seen that you're in second half, you can't joke. Oh. You can't. You have to move on. You have to have determined faith, desperate faith. It's not really desperate. A lot of people who sing really desperate, desperate, desperate. They are not desperate at all. And that's hardly desperate. I'm talking about desperate faith. Determined faith. Whereby you say, Lord, I'm not stopping praying until I see the victory. Until I see the victory. I'm going to take your word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And I'm not letting go until I see the victory. There is no situation, whether in an individual's life, whether in a church, whether in a nation, whether in a family, that is too hopeless for the sufficient power of the Holy Spirit. These days I talk to people with everything going on in Malawi. Everybody, a lot of people I meet, they go like, ah, Zikolinol. Zikolinol. Ugana karankwina go pita. Ugana go pita. Zikolinol. And that pita and mudibes. Because we will fight. We will fight on our knees. We will pray and we'll say, God, you bless us here. Amen. You do your things here. Amen. And I want you to know God is more eager to act today as he wants to act tomorrow. All he's waiting is for us to take him at his promises and go boldly to the throne of grace where we find help and grace to help us in time of need. He wants to meet the enemy at the very point of attack and want to see us stand against the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes what the devil does, he wants to intimidate you. So I had an incident yesterday. There's something I'm working on and I finished all that and then people were trying to get out of me. They didn't. I only got to know the next part of the story. I told some brothers, but I got to know the next part of the story later in the evening when I was speaking to somebody else very senior. So I had to go to police yesterday. So I went to police. I thought I was going there to sort out issues, not knowing that I was a suspect. So I went there. Because somebody had said, I'm an agent wa kuba, I'm a bakwambiri, akupanga operate syndicate, then I'm an agent of Nego to Mumang. So I got some calls. So I said, Nubaya Gonko. So I went there.
I said, I want to see so-and-so. So I meet them, I begin to talk to them, and they ask me some questions. I said, you want me to answer that question? That question I can't answer because that question doesn't apply to me. You ask the person you're supposed to ask that question. Ah, no, sorry, but I'm like, no. So I finish, I come home. Later in the evening, that's when I get the call that the story had gone even to the Deputy Inspector General of Police. I'm like, devil, you want to intimidate me? Me? We are not intimidated on this one. No. I said, we are not intimidated on this one. You can try to threaten us. You can try to do this, but we will not be intimidated. Hallelujah. So the devil will try to intimidate you. You don't need to move. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Anytime for rising against you, we condemn right now. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, gathering they will gather, but not because of me. Whosoever gathers against you shall fall for your sake. Psalm 68:1 declares, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. So I called the guy afterwards. After the guy I talked to, I said, so I came in your office. You said I was a, you thought I was a suspect. Why didn't you arrest me? You're a coward. You needed to arrest me and put me in a cell. And you see what I would have done. I said, you are a very coward. I know, sorry, Bana. I said, you are a coward. Have you heard what I said? I said, you are a coward. And people say, Pastor McDuff. I was angry. I was very angry. But he wants us to meet the enemy on the battlefield. When we do so, God will back us up with all the resources of heaven. What God did in, through, with the lives of David's mighty men, and what he did in the book of Acts, the ignorant men, the unschooled men, he's able and more than able to do in our day and age in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.